From the Department of Cardiopulmonary Resuscitation, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. I recorded this interview about a year ago, and since then it has become the most listened to episode of Red Belly Radio. It inspired a story in USA Today, and it has been mentioned in other publications as well. The following is the same story told by two different people from two very different points of view. Roy Harris, a Southwest Airlines customer, was flying through Chicago heading to his home in Nashville. Also planned to be on that flight was Rachel Jacobs, a Southwest Airlines flight attendant, also going to Nashville. They started out that day not knowing each other. That would change.
I was living in Chicago and off work, commuting to go and see my parents.
I had been in Michigan. I'm a minister, and I do a lot of speaking across the country, and so I fly quite often.
So I was running from a train to catch a plane.
And this particular time, I normally do not connect in Chicago when I go to Detroit. And this time coming home, I had a connecting flight in Chicago and back to Nashville. You know, I arrived, but I was 40 minutes late, so I was worried that I might miss the flight.
And Roy had been in Detroit, and they de-iced the plane in Detroit, and his flight in Detroit was late. He was connecting through Chicago.
So I got there, got off the plane, and I'm hustling to get to the other end of the airport.
He was running a real close connection, so he ran from one side of the concourse to the other.
I get there, and they're running behind a little bit, too, because of the weather, and so I thought, well, this is great. I'm safe.
So when he got to the gate, he sat down.
Took my coat off and sat down and thought, well, I'll make a few business calls here and just touch base with some folks.
I was talking with the operations agents up there and just kind of general chit-chatting, and someone ran over and they said, oh, there's a man sick. You know, even off work, we are always ready to go. So I ran over to him, and he was having what appeared to be a seizure, and he was in his chair. I kind of yelled out for some help, yelled back at the ops agent and said, you know, get help. He's having a seizure. So at the time, we thought it was a diabetic seizure.
I had a heart attack in the gate area.
So I yelled at some men to help me get him out of the chair to get him on the floor. And I was thinking diabetic. You know, we're not really trained to think heart attack with a seizure, but now we are. So I saw a flight attendant, and I saw the plane outside, so I yelled, get the defibrillator, the oxygen, and the EMK. So I saw the plane, and I knew she could go and get it. Another person went running to get the defibrillator, which they did. At that point, a doctor and a nurse had come over to help. So they come over. He stopped shaking. We get the defibrillator on him. The doctor shocked him. Paramedics come. They get him. They take him away. Well, I realized that no one was going to be with him in the emergency room. Even if he died, somebody needs to go.
And then I woke up in the ER. You know, at first they thought I had a seizure, and I was doing so well in the ER. They said he couldn't have had a heart attack, but the blood work came back. And yes, I did have a heart attack, and I ended up having a quadruple bypass surgery.
I got in a taxi and went to this hospital to be with him. Because when you go through something like that with someone, you have a bond with them. I didn't even know what I would tell the hospital of who I was, because I had never had a conversation with him. And I didn't have anyone, like I usually do, the other two flight attendants on the plane when this stuff happened. And I didn't have anyone but me, and I didn't know where I was going or what I was going to find when I got there. But I knew that in my heart it was the right thing to do. I stayed with him. He had BlackBerry, and so he wanted to call his wife, but he kept forgetting everything. So I was just so afraid that he was never going to be, you know, the same. I realized in the hospital, the nurse told me that whenever you have a traumatic event happen to you, your brain doesn't allow you to remember right away until you're ready, which was very, you know, helpful for me to know since I worked on him and I thought I didn't get him oxygen in time. So anyway, I stayed until his wife got there. We had talked to her on the phone and said, I am going to stay with him until, you know, you all get here, so he won't be by himself. The operations people in Nashville make arrangements, so she later said that that was the best thing that could have happened, you know, to her.
You know, I've had physical every year. They kept close watch on me. But I had no normal symptoms. I had no cholesterol problems. I had no diabetes, not overweight, don't drink, don't smoke, exercise regularly. And they told me what I had is what they call the widowmaker. It's like an athlete who is in really good shape, and they find him on the side of the road when he's out jogging who died of a heart attack. There's just no warning.
The cardiologist said that the defibrillator did save his life in the airport, and the seizure was caused from lack of oxygen because of the heart attack.
Of course, I'm a strong believer in my faith. You know, I'm a Christian and, of course, believe in Christ. And so I'm a strong believer that nothing happens by chance. I believe that, you know, God has a plan, and I believe just stopping in Chicago was part of his plan because, you know, in the gate area just happened to be Rachel Jacobs, who was off duty on her way to Nashville on the same flight that I was going to get on. Also, there was a doctor there and a nurse getting on that same flight. Just ironic, you know, that all those things would be in place at that very moment when I would have a heart attack. So I don't think that was by accident or by chance.
I thought he was dead. And I was, you know, and then he wasn't. And now there's this whole opportunity to maybe save some other people that through our experience that we could share.
I woke up in the emergency room. You know, here's this flight attendant sitting next to me. And, of course, I don't know her. And, of course, Rachel, you know, we became friends very quickly. You know, she has a very good personality. So she told me who she was, and she told me that she had to tell me three times because I think I went for almost 15 minutes without any oxygen to the brain, and so I was a little cloudy, and it's a wonder I didn't have any brain damage, but I had none.
Everyone keeps telling me, you know, thank you for saving his life, and I just don't feel like I did that.
Once I, you know, realized where I was and what was going on, and she told me my family was on the way, I told her, I said, you've been here long enough. I've tied you up. You missed your flight. Why don't you just go on? She said, no. She just basically refused to go. She said, I'm going to stay until your family gets here. So she actually sat there for 8 hours with me in the ER waiting for my family to get there.
I have never been so afraid in my life as I was when I was in that taxi thinking I was going to see someone that had died.
Southwest had made arrangements to fly my wife and my children, my two grown children. And the amazing thing was they made the reservations for my family. They actually did the booking. They were waiting on them when they got to the Nashville airport. They were waiting on them when they got off the plane, actually paid their plane fare, gave them round trip tickets to Chicago, paid their way, their cab fare to the hospital, and also paid their first night's hotel. And then Saturday, the Southwest flew me home. And, of course, they were waiting on me. And Nikki, another great person who was a gate person when I had the heart attack, on her day off met me and my wife on Saturday and met us and took us, you know, with a wheelchair, rolled me all the way through security, got me to the gate, got me situated on her day off. And she came in to do that, and that's pretty amazing, too. Of course, my first wife died of cancer, and so, you know, I learned to live one day at a time, because sometimes that's all you have. But after this experience, it kind of, you know, and I will say this, I didn't see any bright lights or anything like that, but I had a very real sense of, you know, God's control and God looking after me. And you gain an appreciation for life even more when you go through something like this. You cherish each day, and you try to live, you know, and plan well for the future, but you understand that tomorrow may never come. And today is all you have.
I grew up in that taxi. You know, when I was in Chicago, I was scared out of my mind. That taxi ride empowered me. You know, I may have some other hard choices I have to make by myself. I feel like I already did that. Now I can do this.
You know, I fly Southwest quite often, but I could have been anybody.
Also, after going through this experience, both Roy and Rachel made the point to me of how important it is to put an ICE number on your cell phone. That's the in case of emergency. Emergency personnel can look for this, and it can really save them time. And after hearing their stories, I put several on my phone. I have ICE with my wife's name and numbers and ICE with my daughter's name. They can look under I, and medical personnel can find it very quickly and call one number right after the other if necessary. Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2010. The cardiac surgeons in that Chicago hospital have indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices. Well, except for defibrillators.